Welcome to Gospel Tangents, the best source for Mormon history, science, and theology. I'm Rick Bennett. We're going to learn more about David Fairman's angelic ordination at the hands of an angel in our next conversation with David and Christine Fairman. So we'll learn more about their unification movement and a little bit more about their church. So you won't want to miss this conversation. Check it out. The thought comes up about Hiram Page and how Joseph said Hiram's revelations weren't good, but it sounds like you're more open to Hiram Pages in your congregation.
Yes. Well, here's the thing, though. I mean, if somebody comes to me with a revelation that says, hey, go worship Satan, you know, or Baal's the guy you got to go to, you know, I don't know what Hiram Page's revelations were, but there's going to be ones that we're going to say, hey, this doesn't sound good. And I will tell you, one of the revelations I received was, I'm sure you probably heard of it. What's that guy's name? Nemelka? Nemelka?
Yeah, Chris Nemelka. Yeah.
Yes, thank you. You know, I went to the Lord. I said, you know, what are we supposed to do with this? Because there was some disagreement within the fellowship itself saying, this guy's a fallen prophet. He really did translate the gold plates, but now he's pretending like he wrote it because of his pride and his egoism. And it's like, okay, well, you know, so I go to the Lord and the Lord said, this guy's an antichrist. Don't use the scripture. You have an open canon, but not this one. Don't include it. So, you know, there are going to be times, because there have been, when various revelations or translations, the Lord has told us, don't use this. But it isn't because someone came to us and said, or I myself, you know, or Christine as the co-presidents, we didn't say, okay, well, put my fist down. We're not going to do this. We don't like this guy. Or it takes authority away from us or whatever else. It's because the revelations, because God said it wasn't good.
Interesting. I'm trying to remember, there was another guy, Matthew Gill. Do you have any thoughts on him?
There's some people, he's kind of like the people in our group call it the gold book, the Brazilian group's book. It's kind of like that. There's some people who do buy into it and some people who don't. So it's just kind of hanging out there. It's open canon. There's nothing in there that's going to take people away from God. It's, you know what I mean? But there, in fact, actually, Alexei, we have on our YouTube channel, he actually gave a sermon where he used some scriptures from that book as part of the sermon. So, and I will say this.
The Book of Jaranek, is that right?
Yes, Book of Jaranek, correct.
Yeah.
He came out recently and made a comment about how we all need to unite, and I shared that quote on our Facebook page because that's what we're all about, is unity as Latter-day Saints. So,
interesting. Well, Christine, can you tell us a little bit more about church services? You know, in the LDS Church, we've got sacrament meeting and Sunday school and priesthood relief society. Do you have those sort of things, and how does your Sunday worship usually flow?
We've done some Sunday worship on Zoom. We focus a lot on, I guess, at-home worship and knowing and being able to have a guide to doing that kind of thing at home. We do the sacrament. We don't usually do it every week. Sometimes we'll do it once a month or, you know, what have you, but Sunday worship is pretty much like most other churches. You know, there's a sermon or a speaker. People are welcome when we're on Zoom to share thoughts. We go through songs and, you know, just
it wouldn't seem that different than a traditional LDS service. Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, I will say, we tried singing hymns when we first started doing the Zoom services, and it's a mess because all of a sudden the timing just isn't there.
It doesn't work over the computer, but individually.
Yeah, what we usually do is we play a song from YouTube, and then everyone that wants to sing mutes their microphone and sings at home.
I can see how that would cause tech problems.
it was a very fun experiment. I'll say it like that. The other thing that would be unique to us is that during our Sunday worship service, we have a unification portion where we read the first portion of the Shema, Deuteronomy 6:4. in Hebrew and then in English. And at that point, we're kind of open to if anyone feels the Spirit move them to give a testimony before we get started. And then we usually just have one sermon. We don't have like a bunch of different or talk, whatever you want to call it. We don't have a bunch of different people speaking.
It wouldn't be that unfamiliar, though, but, to yeah, anybody who is LDS or Christian, Protestant.
Yeah, any Christian background, really.
So would you call yourselves Messianic Christians? Because it sounds like you do a lot of Old Testament stuff, and it seems like you celebrate a lot of Jewish holidays. Is that correct?
I would say that I am. One of the focuses in the fellowship is Kabbalah. And it's not Jewish Kabbalah, and it's not Christian Kabbalah, and it's not Hermetic Kabbalah. It's Mormon Kabbalah. And so with that, we kind of tie in a lot of the temple rituals more back to the Kabbalistic style roots than the Brighamites do with the Masonic roots. So
you have a podcast that discusses that a little bit more in depth, too.
What's the podcast called?
Mormon Kabbalah.
Okay.
It discusses that connection between Mormonism and Kabbalah.
Yeah.
You can find that on iTunes and wherever else. And
yep.
Apple Podcasts. I keep calling it iTunes.
MormonKabbalah.com. I'm sorry?
I keep calling it iTunes, but they changed the name to Apple Podcasts a long time ago. And
yeah.
It's hard for me to change.
I'll show you. We have a book, a scripture that we've canonized.
Yeah, I can see it.
This is the Book of Remembrance. This particular hardback version has some, it has basically my story in it because people kept asking me to share it. And then also some revelations about the fellowship. But the Book of Remembrance itself, which you can also get in paperback, and it's available for free online or on the Apple and Apple Books and Kindle. It's 99 cents on those. I just say get the free PDF. But it goes through the first chapter goes through one of the first revelations that I received back when I was still a part of the Salt Lake City Church. And then it has two revelations I had back when I was a kid in high school. And then it has the rest of that particular book is a series of revelations that I had in January 2016 that go over the temple rituals. And then the angel Raphael shows up and explains what was just given to Adam and Eve as they're going through the process. And they're not exactly the same as the rituals that the Brighamites or that the, what's the other group, the Campbellites?
Cutlerites.
I'm sorry?
Cutlerites.
Cutlerites, thank you, yes, or the Cutlerites out. So...
So did you have kind of a first vision experience then? You know, were you called by an angel or how did that work?
Yes. So, and I feel really weird saying this, but you can read about it in my book. But basically what happened was the Lord for a long time was telling me to go to my bishop back when I was a member of the Salt Lake City Church and telling me to talk to him about being ordained a high priest. And I was just like, you know, you have to get a state calling for that. I you know, if you want me to do this, tell them to give me a state calling. And there's other things where God's telling me to do something, and I'm just telling him, you know, why are you telling me to do this? And finally, I gave in, and I went to my bishop, and he said, and what I'm about to say, I want to be very clear here. I know this isn't the official policy of that church, but it's just what I was told. What I was told was that I had to either be a grandfather so that I could be in the same priesthood class with the other grandfathers, or I had to have a state calling. And so I needed to just forget the matter. So I went back home. I got down on my knees and I said, okay, well, I did what you asked me to do. If you want me to make an appointment with the state president, let me know what you need me to do. And he said, don't worry about it right now. And he gave me some other things to study and do and look at. And so I did that. And one day I felt impressed by the Spirit to pray about it again. And while I was in prayer, an angel came and ordained me. That angel was Raphael. And he ordained me a high priest and said that he was giving me all of the same keys that Abraham had been given. And so all of the keys to the gospel. I didn't understand why. I didn't know why I would need any of this. And I knew, like, when I received it, I was grateful. You know, I had these priesthood keys that I could use, I guess, at my home. I didn't know what I was supposed to do with them. But I knew I couldn't use them at the church I was going to. So I didn't really understand what the point was. But I presumed that I was going to be getting a state calling or something. And so then I would be ordained again by someone in the flesh. And instead, later on, I was led to start the fellowship. And I was told that unless I had those keys to the high priesthood, I would not have had the authority to do so. So I've had other experiences, but that's the one that really kind of got that ball rolling.
So essentially, Raphael told you to start an online church or online organization?
That was it. What happened, I was getting very frustrated with the Brighamites, all of them. There wasn't another Brighamite sect that I was interested in joining, and I wasn't really sure what to do. But every time I heard how the Salt Lake City church was attacking homosexuals and women and just other people, it was tearing me apart. And my whole thing I'd always said was, if I had been alive when blacks couldn't have had the priesthood, I would not have been ordained. And the reason why is because I'm sure, I don't know my ancestry, I'm sure I've got a drop of black blood in me. I mean, I'm sure everybody does. So according to Brigham Young, I wouldn't have been worthy. But I felt like that same test was being applied to us as members of that church today, when women weren't allowed to be ordained, even though they're called by God, when homosexuals were being pushed to the sidelines and kicked out, when, you know, Benson went out and actually had files against people that were Democrats and liberals because he was so against anything close to socialism. These aren't Christian ideas. Christian ideas are about loving people in Christ, not going after them because of their skin color, their sexual orientation, or their political leanings. So one day, whenever I would get upset, I would tell God, like, look, I am not leaving this church angry. If you want me to leave this church, you have to bring me peace, because contention and anger is not from you. That's from Satan. So I want your peace, and I will do what you tell me to do when I get that peace. And on the 5th of November, I opened up my email. I had this notification that showed me Mormonism in the news. Of course, that was back before Mormonism was a bad word. And I read that there was a new policy that even if children were worthy of baptism, they would not be baptized. And I felt...
Of gays. Yeah, children of gays.
Parents were gays. Yes, thank you for that. Thank you. Yes, if their parents were homosexuals. And, of course, that goes against the Articles of Faith. That goes against a number of things. And I prepared myself to be upset, but I wasn't. I felt this overwhelming peace and this love of God. And my first thought was, well, is this because this is the right thing? And the answer came to me, no. And the only way I can describe to you in human language what happened next is to say that the Holy Spirit descended upon me like a dove. And I just was so washed in the Holy Spirit. It was like I was one with the universe. It was like I suddenly had tapped into all knowledge and all wisdom. It was just phenomenal. Words can't describe it. And I had a conversation with the Lord. And the Lord told me in that conversation that he wanted me, he had called me to a ministry. And that he wanted me to go out and you know, what to do and how to do it. And of course, part of it was starting a website and putting revelations I had and information I had on the website. And I remember I went upstairs and I was terrified to tell Christine what I had just experienced, because I was afraid she was going to think I was crazy or she was going to call me an apostate or whatever. And instead, she called me an idiot. And the reason why was because I told her, I was like, God asked me to do this thing, this he wants me to help unify the saints. And I don't think it's going to work. And the reason why is because every church, it's like they have a bad guy. You know, the LDS church now has the bad guys are the gays, or, you know, and for this church, the bad guys are the Mormons, and he's always a bad guy. But we're not supposed to have a bad guy. We're just supposed to love everybody. And she's like, you're an idiot. So let me get this straight. You're telling me that God told you to do something and you don't think it's going to work, even though God told you to do it. And I was like, okay, well, when you put it that way, I guess I do feel like a little bit of an idiot. But I think that's one of the reasons why the Lord called me to do this, is because of the fact that I'm skeptical of myself, which gives me the humility to not just force things upon people, I guess. But that's the experience that I had. And sorry, that was kind of a long story, but yeah.
So let me make sure. So you've had, so approximately what year did the angel Raphael ordain you to be a prophet, or what did he ordain you to?
As a high priest.
Just a high priest. Okay. What year was that?
Oh, off the top, I didn't write any of this stuff down. So I want to say it was 2000. It was either 2014 or 2015, because it wasn't exactly when all this happened.
Okay. So when the November 2015 policy came out, that's when you had this, was it a vision or a revelation from God that
both,
basically
yes.
called you out of the LDS church? Is that right?
Correct.
And so you resigned shortly thereafter, or are you still dual citizen?
I was a dual citizen, but I was excommunicated very quickly. I was excommunicated by January. In fact, I was actually excommunicated the same day that we baptized our third oldest son. So
into the LDS church?
No, in just non-denominational Mormonism.
Oh.
Into the fellowship, I guess. We gave him the option to be baptized in either one, and he chose the fellowship.
So you would call yourself a non-denominational Mormon?
Yes, I do. I call myself a non-denominational Mormon, a Mormon Kabbalist, and a Messianic Mormon.
That's a lot of
Christine
names.
Identifies as Christine.
Mostly non-denominational Mormon.
Okay, so... okay, so that November policy was a big deal for you personally.
For me personally, yes, it really was. I genuinely believed that. I didn't understand at that time that the first presidency of that particular sect were actually apostles acting as a first presidency. So I really thought that they had the same ability as Joseph Smith to have a revelation and add to the Doctrine and Covenants. You just, no one ever did. And I didn't understand why they didn't. But now I understand that the way that they have their revelations is all 15 brethren get together and they vote. And when the majority is found, then they vote again. And where everyone votes to the affirmative. And then as section 107, I think it's 23 and 24 in their scriptures and their Doctrine and Covenants says, that then becomes their revelation. So when they come out and say, okay, well, blacks have the priesthood now, it's because they all voted unanimously.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with David and Christine Fairman. In our next conversation, we'll talk about how they do temple worship over the internet. It seems like I recall hearing about your movement that you do temple worship over Zoom. Is that correct?
Correct. We encourage people to have a home temple, a portion of their home that they can use as a temple space.
If you'd like to hear the entire interview uncut, please subscribe to patreon.com/gospeltangents for just $5 a month. Patreon is spelled patreon.com/gospeltangents. If you'd like to watch the entire video, you can subscribe at YouTube, Patreon, or on my website at gospeltangents.com and click the yellow subscribe button for just $8 a month. PDF transcripts are just $10 a month, and you can get those on patreon.com/gospeltangents or on my website. I'll send those to you as soon as I've finished completing it. If you'd like to get a paperback and PDF, just subscribe for $20 a month at either Patreon or on my website. Individual paperbacks are available at amazon.com. Just do a search for Gospel Tangents interview, and you can find all of our past interviews there. Show your Gospel Tangents pride by purchasing a t-shirt on our website at gospeltangents.com/shop. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts at tinyurl.com/gospeltangents. You can get our latest updates by friending me at Facebook, or you can also follow our page at facebook.com/gospeltangents. Become an insider and you can see the newest videos. Follow us on Twitter at gospeltangents. Click here to subscribe, here for a transcript, and over here we've got some of our great videos. Thanks again.